wish I could just have this just on like a continuous loop and just have this playing behind like all of the podcasts like they do on NFL primetime. It's just this music. If this music doesn't get you hyped for football, I don't know what does.
Oh, no, there's probably another one out there that probably could hype me for NFL football anyway. Welcome, everyone, to Final Play Podcast. This is week one of the NFL season of 2020, a season which is so far so good. I mean, yeah, okay, we're taping this now, and we've got week three coming up this week. No, keep going. I can do that. We have week three coming up this week, but so far so good with them with all the whole COVID. Because if any game over there I was worried about this game. So far it seems to be good. You know, they're limiting the crowds. You know, everyone's well. Nearly everyone's wearing masks except for coaches. Some of them are getting fined for it.
Some of them are getting pinged pretty hard actually too for not wearing masks. Look, I think it was only two stadiums in week one that allowed fans in was Kansas City and Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Every other stadium had
Jacksonville.
In Florida, well, like a hot
Kansas
spot
City
like that.
Makes completely sense, but yeah.
Yeah, in Jacksonville. Yeah. Anyway.
So we'll run through the games quickly. First game was the first Friday game, which was the Texans at the Chiefs. Chiefs won 34-20. Next ones were all the Monday games. Washington football team, I got to keep saying for now, beat the Eagles 27-17. The Pats beat the Dolphins 21-11. I'll talk about that game soon. The Packers beat the Vikings 43-34 in a massive just shootout. It was just ridiculous. The Jags beat the Colts. Did not expect that. The Bears beat the
Lions
27-23. Yeah, we'll see. The Raiders beat the Panthers 34-30. The Bills beat the Jets 27-17. That's probably the team that's gonna, you know, start tanking. But anyway, for Lawrence. Ravens beat the Browns, oh my God, 38-6. The Seahawks beat the Falcons, 38-25. The Chargers just beat the Bengals, 16-13. The Cardinals, flying, 24, is there a bird? Beat the 49ers, 24-20. The Saints beat the Buccaneers.
Thanks for that, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought you might have chimed in there. The Saints beat the Buccaneers and TB12's first game for the Bucks, 34-23. The Rams beat the Cowboys 20-70. We'll skip past that. And the two Tuesday games was the Steelers beating the Giants 26-16. God, New York just have terrible teams.
Why did they think that should have been a Monday game, honestly?
And
the New York Giants. That's the New York Giants.
I don't mind seeing Steelers. Oh, I think it was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think it's absurd that the Giants are on there.
I do like, and then the last game, 16-14 to the Titans. I honestly love that there was a back-to-back Monday night game. I thought that was
yeah,
awesome.
They've done that for a few years now. On the opening week, they'll have the two Monday night games. So I think they should continue to do that throughout the season.
I think it's brilliant. I think
why can't you have an early East Coast game?
Yeah,
and then a West Coast game like they do with the NBA. I think they'd be a little bit worried about the viewership that would go down from the East Coast for the West Coast game. You know what I mean? If it started at like, yeah, even if it started at 9:30 or 10 o'clock their time, you know, 10 p.m. their time, I think they would lose a lot of interest just purely on the fact that it is, you know, Monday night. And it's late on a Monday night, so I like it that they've done that the last few years that they put you know two Monday night games on.
I just wanted to start with the Washington football team. I'll just say Washington. It's probably just easier. Purely
Washington
because
Washington racial slurs.
I'll say it. Yeah, I suppose it was an upset, really, if you look at it. You know, the way the Eagles have been playing in years. It was a funny old game because they just took a hold after that second half. They took a hold of the game. No one really stood out in that time except for their defense. That's why I found it funny that they sort of, you know, they, you know, Terry McLaurin played well. You got, you know, five catches for 61 yards But, you know, their quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, only sort of threw 178 yards. It was just their defense. They just...
Oh, no, yeah, no, absolutely. Well, that's what I mean. Philadelphia started off 17-0. Yeah. And then Washington comes back and scores 27 points on them. It just, for me, yeah, like you said, it's. I was hoping Chase Young would sort of be, you know, a little bit more of a terror on defense. But okay, it's his first game. Haven't had any preseason. That's all well and good. I think he got 1.5 sacks. I think. But the thing was, like, Carson Wentz took 14 hits and was sacked 8 times. And for a guy that's constantly hurt and has got back problems and neck problems, and he's probably got some sort of lower limb injury that he's probably dealing with as well, he cannot take that kind of abuse this season. He'll end up like Andrew Luck. He'll be an unfulfilled talent.
Their O-line is terrible. I mean, I don't know if it's a little bit of him not getting protected and – it's a little bit of him.
I think a lot of times he hangs onto the ball too long too. He tries to make the big play every time.
Yeah.
He tries to make the hero play, and he needs to be a smarter quarterback. Like you said earlier, it was Philadelphia's O line is just injury ravaged, and it's just not up to standard to keeping somebody like Carson Wentz upright, out of trouble, and unhurt. Yeah, you know, it was kind of surprising that, you know, taking that many hits and being sacked 8 times that he did finish the game.
Yeah, it's true. I was surprised of how well, I suppose because it was that second half, how well Washington defended in that game. They stood up, they played for each other. It was just shocking because the offensive, they got the points, but the offensive just did. It didn't stand out, so that's why it was kind of a weird game. So,
well, that's what I mean. Like you said, McLaurin had a pretty good game. Like, he's coming into his second season this year. I think he can get better. For the Eagles, you know, Dallas got it once again. Yeah, stealing all of Zach Ertz's fantasy points. Oh, like, where the hell does he get off?
It's hurting me because I have Zach Ertz in a lot of fantasy teams, so I don't. Or do you have Zach Ertz in one of them?
I have Zach Ertz in one. So it's just, that's brutal. He's stealing fantasy points.
Oh, well, you know,
just
that's...
Just like Calvin Ridley stealing fantasy points from Julio Jones. Oh, Where does he get off?
Don't tell me. Yeah, well, Julio's injured, so you don't tell me about that one. What did you think of Cam Newton's first game? I mean, it was against the Dolphins, so it's all hearsay, but...
Yeah, you've hit the nail right on the head there. It was against the Dolphins. So, and look, the Dolphins will be, like, I think they can be much improved this year. You know, obviously winning 5 games that they had no right in winning last year. Look, Cam was big in the rush. But oh, yeah, 15 for 75 and a couple of rushing touchdowns. A
couple of rushing touchdowns, He topped the... It's scary, yeah. I got rid of my running backs in fantasy from that I had in New England because I don't think anyone else is going to run.
No, yeah, that's it. Yeah, they're done. Unless they're a pass catcher like James White, like Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, guys like that, they're not going to get any touches.
No, they don't. I agree. I think
it's going to be a quarterback draw for the quarterback.
I think Miami can improve. I think... They've got the weapons there. I think it's only a matter of time before Tua actually plays. He didn't play that game.
I think they've got a fairly long leash. I think with Fitzmagic, even though he threw 3 interceptions in this game, which is, you know, true, I guess, sort of true to form.
Same Fitzmagic.
But anyway, you can't call him Fitzpatrick. His name's not Fitzpatrick. His name's Ryan Fitzmagic. Let's get it right, people. Devontae Parker as well, I think, is a big part of their offense.
Yeah, I agree.
They've got a slew of running backs, the Miami Dolphins as well. So whether they see Jordan Howard, Miles Gaskin.
Yeah, but there's no one really, especially in that first game.
No one's really going to stand out, I don't think. He's pretty handy. No, that's right, Matt Breida. That's right, Matt Breida. That's the other one I couldn't think of. The tight end there for Miami as well, is it Gissick?
Mike. Is it Mike Gieske or Gissick?
I think that's it. He's going to be very much relied upon by Fitzmagic and when Tua eventually comes in. But
yeah, I think so.
You know, all reports that come out of Miami are that, you know, Tua is just being a sponge at the moment, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is just giving as much knowledge to him as humanly possible. He has been a really good sort of tutor for him.
I mean, he knows that he's 37.
He's thrown a touchdown and started and thrown a touchdown for like 8 different teams.
Point taken. Like, he is 37.
He's the ultimate professional. Isn't he a Harvard graduate?
Oh, wow, really?
I think he's a Harvard graduate.
Wow, that's interesting. So there you go. That's interesting. What did you think? There's a couple of the games that I sort of stood out. Well, I wanted to obviously talk about the Saints and the Buccaneers. You know, that's not the first time they're going to play this year. Your boys did win the first game. Not a great game by Drew at all. No, I wouldn't say at all. He didn't play terrible, but he didn't play great either. Not Drew's standards, I should say.
No, look, you know, and Michael Thomas sort of went down throughout this game as well.
Oh, killer.
That's just a fantasy killer. Like, just fantasy killer.
Although, on the flip side, in that game, I had Jared Cook that carved up for me, so that was fine.
No, and that's what Sean Payton and Drew Brees like. They like themselves a nice dominant tight end.
So,
they had Jimmy Graham there for a long time as well, and obviously Jared Cook is even last year, you know, he was, you know, bearing the fruits of a Sean Payton and Drew Brees led offense. Look, New Orleans looked ordinary.
Yeah,
I think most of the game.
There wasn't. Yeah,
Tom
I agree.
Brady, I thought Tom Brady looked very comfortable. He gets the ball out so quick. So I think that's going to be a key for Brady going forward. Obviously, he's got weapons up the wazoo for him to throw to.
He does. I don't think he used them enough in that first game, you know. Well,
no, it's being accustomed to it as well. Like, you know, I think Bruce Arians will be able to sort of dial up a lot of different sort of looks for Brady and the 80 tight ends that he's got to throw to, and obviously Chris Godwin and Mike Evans.
Mike Evans, yeah.
So
I just thought with New Orleans that they probably the best way to put it. They defensively they stepped up. Clearly they stepped up.
The pick six for Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah,
that Tom Brady threw right to him, and Janoris Jenkins just undercut Brady and took it all the way to the house. Like, you know, that was good. I thought the battle between Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore, I think is just getting more heated as the years go on. I think they've got a real disdain for each other.
Lattimore killed him in that game. Absolutely killed him. But I guess what I was sort of with the Buccaneers. Well, you know, they've got offensive weapons up the wazoo, like you said. Their defense sort of let them down in that game. Well, they had no secondary, well, not that I could see at all, even with Michael Thomas going down.
I think they'll get better. You know, they've got guys like Shaq Barrett there, and Ndamukong Suh. They'll get better defensively. I think they're more of it because they're a bit of a throw together team, you know. It'd be lots of new schemes and lots of new routes and stuff like that, because it's going to be a Tom Brady tailored offense, you know, not Jameis Winston, I'm going to throw 30 interceptions tailored offense.
They probably need to get a pass.
Funnily enough, who's the backup for the Saints? But
yeah. They probably just need a better pass rush, is what I was getting at. But that, I mean, you're not going to pass rush Saints O-line. That's pretty hard to get through.
No, and that's what I mean. For their offensive line and their defense as well. Like I said, ordinary. Yeah, you know, Sean Payton come out and said at the end of the game that he is extremely unhappy with how they played offensively, and still put on 34 points.
Yeah.
So. you know, the Thomas injury, he's out for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
New Orleans is going to have to make do with that for a couple of weeks. Although Tom Brady looked very, very calm and very at ease, just the way that he was making throws in that game.
Yeah.
So I think that's a scary sign to come, because if he's looking comfortable already, that could be big trouble. Alvin Kamara as well. He's healthy again. He's going to be.
He didn't have the greatest game in that first week.
No, not so. Really.
It is Alvin Kamara. He got paid. Yeah. So deservedly got paid.
That's right.
Speaking of quarterbacks that felt comfortable, and the team's going to be scary. Is the Packers beating the Vikings 43-34? But my God, Aaron Rodgers, 364 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Oh, I just want him, once again, fantasy implications everywhere. I just want him to just go on an absolute tear this year.
I think he will go on an absolute tear because
he has, hasn't he?
last year, Devonta Adams didn't have the greatest year, but, at least towards the tail end there. But this year, that game, he was phenomenal.
Oh, he touched
156 yards. It was... one of those games everyone likes to see, especially that fourth quarter. It was like nearly 40 points sort of put on at the fourth quarter.
Yeah, just in the fourth quarter. It was 20. Minnesota sort of made it a game and scored 24 points in the fourth quarter. If they didn't score those, then this game was a blowout.
I'm so glad in a lot of fantasy teams or leagues I'm in, that Adam Thielen dropped late in drafts, because everybody just seemed to forget about him.
I picked him up nice and early. I also have Kirk Cousins.
He was my next pick, so you can get screwed. But I just think people forget about how good he is, especially when they lost.
Well, now he's going to be pretty much number one option there. Now that Stephon Diggs is gone, I think he's going to catch a lot of balls as long as Kirk Cousins isn't throwing interceptions.
That's exactly right. But the Packers were just. Devonta Adams, just across the board. Even Alan Lazard, a young sort of guy, end up getting a touchdown, 63 yards. They just got weapons, which is crazy.
Well, they've got a bunch of number twos there, but Aaron Rodgers makes them number ones.
Good point.
With the throws that he can make.
Good point.
Credit to Minnesota. Time in possession was a little under 18 minutes, and they scored 34 points.
Yeah,
Green Bay just dominated time and possession in that game. And, to Minnesota's credit, they scored 34 points. So, and also it's the most points by Green Bay Packers side in a season opener in Packers history, 43 points. So, a little nugget there. But like you said, they're three big weapons. Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, a couple of touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, touchdown passes.
Yeah. They're scary.
They're the fuel that's going to fire that. And if they can be somewhat competent defensively, then they'll be in and around the NFC Championship game again this year, I think.
They were 13-3 last year, and everyone sort of didn't talk about them that much, so to speak. So I think a team that's really going to get talked about this year and for so many levels was the Cardinals. That was the last game I wanted to talk about. They beat last year's Super Bowl finalists, the 49ers, 24-20. But my God, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins have already
struck DeAndre Hopkins partnership goals. That is going to be one scary, quarterback wide receiver duo this year. DeAndre Hopkins has a career high 14 receptions. To quote Seinfeld, they're real and they're spectacular, but I don't think they're real, but they are spectacular.
They are spectacular because Kyler's, he rushed phenomenally well. You've got a touchdown and
he was the leading rusher for the Cardinals.
Isn't it when you got a weapon like Kenyon Drake there? But
no, that's right. They traded for him last year, and Kyler Murray has 91 rushing yards.
Their trades have been perfect, getting Kenyon Drake and getting DeAndre Hopkins. You had your play little bits that chimed in, but I just think Kyler Murray, he had an okay sort of season last year. It wasn't lights out or anything, But man, he looks extremely.
He had a solid. He had a solid rookie season with That's what right. he had around him.
He looks extremely comfortable already in his second year, and he's. I think it's just because he's hard. He's like, he's not like Lamar Jackson, where you know he's fast, but he's not Lamar Jackson built, where he's going to be able to smash it in for touchdowns all the time. But
no, he's going to be more elusive than Well, and not to say that Lamar Jackson isn't elusive in the run game, but. Yeah, it's sort of a little bit of a different way that they could go out there and play. Now that they've got arguably a top three, top four receiver in the league.
Oh, easily.
That is going to make things, for Cliff Kingsbury, very, very easy for him.
Because
DeAndre Hopkins just doesn't drop footballs. He just doesn't drop them.
No. That I you know they I'm not going to use a terrible term, but they lamb-lasted Houston in that trade. Although David Johnson isn't playing too bad so far for the Texans, but man, that was just to me a lopsided trade in Arizona's favor.
Oh my god, like it'll all come out in the wash at the end of the season or at the end of this tenure that these teams have, but you've just. It's unbelievable how that Bill O'Brien can have this much of a falling out with DeAndre Hopkins and then just goes right. I'm the GM here. I'm the boss. That's it. He's gone. It's just it's head scratching.
Mm.
And as the season goes on, it's going to get even more head scratching. Even if David Johnson could stay healthy, he's with what the package that they sort of dealed up. It's just not enough. It's just not enough for DeAndre Hopkins.
On the flip side with the 49ers, man, I think they're missing a wide receiver terribly bad in that team.
They were hit hard during the offseason with wide receiver injuries. So,
correct.
Debo Samuel, I think he got hurt during training camp, so I think he's back in a couple of weeks. They've got limited options at the moment for Jimmy G to throw to, so they've got to go back to what brought them to the dance last year in Kyle Shanahan and drawing up those run plays.
And the defense, like the Boses of the world and that. Richard Sherman.
That's right. Yeah,
so.
Richard Sherman. They need to be absolutely terrorizing again defensively.
That was the games I sort of wanted to touch on. Was any you wanted to touch on at all?
Look, the season opener, I wouldn't mind sort of going through the season opener.
Yeah, sure.
Kansas City and Houston. Yep. And like we said before, Houston have made a monumental mistake in getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins. Houston scored first in this game, and it was a good touchdown for David Johnson. Get him into the offense, get him going, get him confidence. That's what he needs. Obviously, he doesn't need injuries, but to get him going. They're another team that's like San Francisco that are severely, severely lacking a number one receiver. Deshaun Watson for me. But Deshaun Watson for me, basically, he was non-existent in the run game, and that's one of the big reasons why they paid him as much money, because he can do as much with his legs as what he can with his arm.
They've got all those. So, they've got three. To me, you're right. No standout one number one receiver. There's three number two receivers. They got Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, and Will Fuller. So Will Fuller played all right, but I agree. There's no. There's no DeAndre Hopkins.
Kenny Stills is there. Kenny Stills is there as well. So, they've got
number one.
That's right. And that's the thing. You could always Deshaun Watson could always rely on DeAndre Hopkins, and now he doesn't have that. So I think the Texans are going to be in. I think they're going to be in for a rough season.
Just
purely on that fact, if they can't step it up defensively with guys, with JJ Watt sort of leading them, I think they're in for some hurting ahead in this season. I think
I feel like they're going to have a higher draft pick next year. That's where I think they're going. They're not going to have number one, clearly, but they're going to have
Deshaun Watson will find ways to maybe get him 5 or 6 wins, but it's I think they're in for some pain and they're going to really, really regret that trade with DeAndre Hopkins. Well, Kansas City didn't really miss a beat.
They didn't miss a beat. I mean, their rookie, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, was just phenomenal in his first game.
First player to debut for a Super Bowl champion with 100+ running yards.
Yeah.
In his debut game, so as a rookie, like, you know, they just fed him 25 carries, 138 yards, a touchdown, makes a couple of catches, like he's going to benefit so much from this team.
He's going to make
a lot of money.
There wasn't a lot of running backs, standout running backs sort of going around. But man, they just fell to them nicely when they drafted him.
That's right, at 32.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And yeah, he had a great game. Sammy Watkins chimed in as well. He got a touchdown and 82 yards. So like you just said, they just didn't miss a beat. Travis Kelce, Tariq Hill, yeah. They've weapons everywhere and they didn't miss a beat. And Tyrann Mathieu was, oh my God, that guy at secondary. You know, they talk up Jamal Adams of the world, but that guy, Mathieu is one of the better.
Yeah, he's good. Like, at least, yeah, Jamal Adams is up there as one of the better sort of, you know, safeties around. But yeah, Mathieu is good.
Oh, it was, yeah. He shut everybody down. Like, I mean, it was, yeah. He was literally everywhere in that game. And he reads a play so quickly, too. You know, speed aside to get to it. He just reads the pace so quickly. So
no, that's right.
Was there any other games?
Look, I thought the Seahawks and Atlanta was a fun game to sort of kick the season off with. Russell Wilson was just cooking from minute one. Like just minute one. Like if he doesn't get going on early season form, he's gonna be right in the mix for MVP this year.
100%. 100%. And I think I don't think he's got a chip on his shoulder, but I think, you know, he'd probably be the kind of guy that, you know, we always talk about Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, what about me kind of thing. That's, you know, as in, you know what I mean? Like, he just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he was so consistent. He only, you know, 31 out of 35, 322 yards with 4 touchdowns. I easily think he'll be in the finals at least. The way they're playing, at least the Seahawks.
The way they're playing, and they are going to be, you know, they're going to be very, very tough to beat this year, especially now that they've sort of had a bit of an upgrade now at sort of strong safety with Jamal Adams there. Look, you know, Matt Ryan threw for 450 yards as well. Like, you can't really
Matt Ryan does that all the time.
That's true.
Yeah, I know, but what I mean, like, you know, he's consistent. He's not like, you know, what I lost his name that used to just throw 30 for 30. He just went to your team, the quarterback.
Oh, like James Winston.
You know, he throws 400+ yards, but at least Matt Ryan, because, you know, won't throw a lot of through one interception. He's not that kind of guy. So
no, not really. Look, I think. The big part of that game too, you know, Atlanta sort of come back and scored 13 points in the fourth quarter, where, you know, missed out on a 2-point conversion to try and, you know, get themselves back into the game. They were 0-for-4 on fourth down, you know, botched a fake punt, and on those 0-for-4 on fourth down where they basically turned the ball over, Seattle put on 3 touchdowns and a field goal on those failed fourth down attempts. So just absolutely made them pay the ultimate price 3 out of 4 times by not converting a fourth down, you know, fourth down and short, fourth down and 5. So, yeah, Atlanta, look, the NFC South is going to be a pretty crazy sort of division. There's a couple of divisions that are going to be pretty wild. I think the AFC West is going to be insane this year.
I think the NFC West is going to be insane, you know, especially the start, the you know, the two ones that we always, you know, I thought to see, well, there's three teams, I know we're sort of skipping ahead, but there's three teams that are undefeated at the moment. And the 49ers, the last year Super Bowl champs, are on the bottom. So it's, yeah. It's,
no, that's right.
The AFC, you said the AFC West as well.
AFC West is going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's.
I don't think it's going to, you know, to say that Kansas City are going to run away with it. You know, they probably will, but they're going to, they'll have some moments. You know, with the Raiders there. You know, maybe the Chargers.
Raiders. Raiders were, you know, in that game. They, you know, they just won. Don't get me wrong, but goddamn, Josh Jacobs is good.
That was a big effort because that was a back and forth game the Raiders and the Carolina Panthers. You know, Carolina come down from like 27-15 down and ended up taking the lead 30-27 in the fourth. And then they just couldn't hold the Raiders out. I thought that was a fun game to sort of watch. I think that might have been on 7, mate.
That was good. I knew that when they picked this guy up that he would be good for them. Robbie Anderson from the Jets. I liked the way he plays. He started to play towards the tail end really good when he was fast. Sam Darnold sort of touchdowns. He's, you know. They did lose that game, but if Christian McCaffrey concentrates on the running game, because he's phenomenal at running back, don't get me wrong, but then they have a half-decent wide receiver, they'd have to keep throwing to Christian McCaffrey. I like the way Robbie Anderson plays. Like you said, really fast, extremely fast, deceptively fast. He's skinny.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah, he's a very good athlete. So, man, you're right. That division, that could be. You know, if the Raiders keep playing the way Raiders are playing, that division could sort of be anything. So AFC West.
If we sort of go through just a few sort of key points in some of the other games that were probably not so, I guess, so interesting. I don't know if you've sort of seen much of the Chicago Detroit game, where it basically Detroit sort of, you know, spewed away a lead again in a season opener. You know, if we cast our minds back this time last year, you know, they ended up having a tie against Arizona, so they pooped the bed, you know, in that game. And they basically did the same in this game. You know, DeAndre Swift had essentially as wide open as a touchdown catch. All he had to do was catch and turn around and fall over into the end zone, and he dropped an absolute sitter. And that pretty much would have won it for the Lions. Detroit had a 17-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Like, I get it; it's the Detroit Lions, but you can't let that slip away. So I thought that was sort of a bit of a big key in that game. I think the Lions are, you know, probably going to be pretty terrible again, and you know, who knows what Chicago are going to do this year.
Chicago, I have no idea what they're going to do. Detroit, I think it's time passed out of Matt Stafford. If they have a terrible year, I just think someone like Trevor Lawrence there would be just,
it's the younger upgrade. And I think there'd be a lot of teams out there that'd be able to do a lot with Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I think... You know, he's been there so long, and he can be a decent player if he's got
He can be a match winner. He can be an absolute match winner, but he just, it's unfortunate. They've just been, you know, the Detroit Lions have been historic losers for a long time, which is unfortunate, but that's just, you know, that's just the ins and outs of it. If we sort of run through a couple of the other games, like we said, you know, Jacksonville sort of springing it on Indianapolis, I thought was a bit of a shocker. Marlon Mack being hurt, rupturing his Achilles. That's not great for Indianapolis. But you know, they've got the young rookie. There's the Jonathan Taylor.
Nine.
They shouldn't lose too much there. You know, even Marlon Mack is a good running back, but I don't think they'll lose too much there, but you know, Minshew Mania is sort of come around 2.0 version.
Oh my god,
you love it. Don't roll the eyes. You love it.
I don't love Minshew Mania. I'm not buying into that hype.
You love it.
I love the guy.
You know you want hair and a mustache like his.
Well, I'd love hair like his. I don't know about the mustache. Definitely hair like his. But no, mate, he was he only got 19 out of 20. So he didn't get a lot of yards, but man, he was very, very accurate. Extremely accurate.
No, exactly. And I think everyone
was shocked from that game purely because, you know, they've traded away hundreds of millions of dollars of assets. Everybody. So
they couldn't even find a trade partner for Leonard Fournette. They just had to let him walk.
That's
unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. Of course he walks.
Of course he walks straight, you know, across the coast to the west coast of Florida and goes to Tampa. Of course he does.
Yeah, who wouldn't? I would. Why not?
He could have walked there. If you told him, "Oh, you're gonna link up with Tom Brady," he would have hitchhiked there. Somebody would have picked him up.
Well, someone clearly did pick him up.
No, exactly. I don't know how much you've seen of like Baltimore and Cleveland.
Enough to just go, okay, you know, Cleveland's doing. Speaking of players, I am not buying in. Baker Mayfield to me is not the player that everyone thinks he is. I just don't see enough in him.
There's so many excuses that get brought up for him. You know, four coaches in 3 years, and sooner or later he's got to step out of the shadows and just take control of this team. But to me, he's got such a smorgasbord of weapons there. He doesn't know where to feed at the trough first.
He spent all that money on
study. It's almost like he's got too much. He's got too many options. And if there's going to be a bit of ego on that team, then you know there might be. You know, if OBJ doesn't get his targets and gets his receptions, then he's going to have a boo-hoo. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be a super balancing act there for Stefanski to try and keep everybody happy. The trough is too large.
Well, they spent all that money on Austin Hooper, the tight end, and Jarvis Landry, who I've always loved, but is playing way better than he is, and they spent $80 million on him.
They've also got David Njoku there as well. Good point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Austin Hooper was one of the best pass-catching tight ends all last year.
Yeah, correct.
And they go out and grab him as well. It's like, what do you want to add more to this team?
Yeah, no defense they need. I mean, they got Myles Garrett, which is awesome in itself, but they need more defense. They need a secondary.
To me, the smorgasbord is too large, and he doesn't know what to pick first.
But that's the problem. If he doesn't know what to pick, I don't buy into him. I don't think he was deserving of a number one pick. Clearly, I don't think that. He'll be a bust. I just see it coming, unfortunately.
I guess we've got to see with stability. If they're going to go with stability and they're going to keep the same coach and offensive coordinator and everything that around, then he has literally no excuses anymore, because everybody's making every excuse under the sun for him and the Cleveland Browns. And we've just got to remember that they're the Cleveland Browns.
Well, that's true. And that's all.
Look, and just before we sort of go, your boys.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that. I thought we were going to go way past that.
Your boys.
What about my boys?
Like your boys.
They just
had a case of the Butterfingers. Like it just nothing was. Dak Prescott. No.
They did have a case of Butterfingers. I watched every minute of that game. Their biggest problem in that game is that Jared Goff, who didn't have a great season last year, had mountains of time to throw the ball. I've never seen a game the Cowboys have played that they're like they used to, they have part. They got DeMarcus Lawrence. Like they just they he had so much time Jared Goff to throw the ball. Literally, he had a good 40. Exaggerating, but probably 20 or 30 seconds. He had so much time.
That's what it looked like and felt like. Yeah, Jared Goff, and yeah, any quarterback in the top league is if you give them time, they're gonna look good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't look good last year.
Except for maybe somebody like Nathan Peterman or Blake Bortles or something like that. Like, I don't think any amount of time in the pocket is going to make them look good. But
yeah, no, that was their biggest problem, their defense. They're probably a little bit, I wouldn't say they're like Cleveland because it's nowhere near like Cleveland, but a lot of offensive weapons. And I said this to another fellow Cowboys fan. I hope they don't regret losing. And it seemed like in that game, Byron Jones at the corner there, not paying him. I think that was a little bit of a mistake or a bit of a lapse in judgment. I think he got a bit of money, but cornerbacks get a lot of money. Clearly, because they're the ones that
good cornerbacks do.
Well, they're right up there with quarterbacks in terms of the money they get paid because they're just as important to the game as the quarterback.
If you can pester and shut down, the opposition team's number one and make it very difficult for them, then you're worth your weight in gold. I sort of took away the play call, 4th and 3. Instead of taking the field goal just to tie it up, I know it was early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
there's still 11 minutes to go. Just take the three. Just take the three.
I hope Mike McCarthy didn't decide that. I mean, clearly he would have, but I got flashbacks of Jason Garrett when I seen that.
Well, what's the offensive coordinator's the offensive coordinator there?
That young guy. Well, yeah,
I can't think of it. Sorry, I keep thinking Lincoln Riley, but that's not Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley's the coach of the Oklahoma Sooners. He's a young guy there.
Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore.
Yeah, Kellen Moore. That's him. Yeah, I get it. It's in hindsight. Hindsight's 20/20. But there's so much time to go in the game. Just take the three.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was.
I guess he's got confidence to say, "Hey, let's go for a 4th and 3. We can put this game to bed now." But it doesn't come off, and it doesn't come off royally. And then the pass interference call on, the offensive pass interference call on Michael Gallup. Could that go either way?
Well, that's the thing. I think it could have went either way. It's hard to justify, but it could have went either way.
Just let him play. I don't think anybody got a whole lot of advantage
play.
I don't think Gallup got a lot of advantage. It's always jostling and pushing and slapping and everything in those sorts of runs because it was a massive pass.
I think it was a little bit of an excuse that we lost that game. I think we were losing that game anyway. Like, to pour it onto that was a turning point, which it probably was.
Everything.
That was a turning point. We'll finish up then with our studs and duds of the week.
Yeah, look, for me, stud of the week, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I don't think he could go past that. Yeah, like you said, he had as many incompletions as touchdowns. He had four touchdowns. He had four incompletions. He's got the weapons there now. He's got Tyler Lockett.
DK
Metcalf is going to have another blinder season. It's his second year now. A pretty good bell cow in Chris Carson.
Kind of glad I took him in a couple of drafts
my first running back that was there that was available on the board and I took him because I know what he's all about. He's a good running back and he's a good thumper, but he's also good in the passing game.
Exactly, he can catch a ball. Exactly, yeah, I agree. He got six targets and caught six times and two touchdowns in that game. So
that's right.
Yeah, he, you know, you're right. He can do it on both sort of ends, passing and running. Yeah, I had the same. It was pretty hard to look past him. Josh Jacobs was nearly there to getting three rushing touchdowns. But
no, that's right. He was. Him along with, you know, with Darren Waller, I think, you know, that they sort of powered that that Raiders team to the win against Carolina. Look, you know, I guess it was sort of you could probably go with Edwards-Helaire as well. You know, he was outstanding. Oh, to start with, but I thought Russell Wilson from the get go was just like this is my time.
I guarantee he's going. Okay, you all talk about the $500 million man in Mahomes, and you know that's Lamar Jackson got Porters for MVP. Don't forget about me. And
yeah, that's right.
I think this is Seattle's time. Seattle, you know, they're going to be up there. They're going to be a team that everyone's going to have to fear, because I think, you know, they haven't really had to change the team that much, and they're playing well.
Yeah, so no, far. I think yeah, they'll be.
That's the group. Like, out of all the sort of, I guess, the divisions, that division is going to be, you know, the way the Cardinals are playing, the way the Rams are playing at the moment, and you still got the 49ers there. God damn, that division.
Aaron Donald looks hungry.
and Jared Goff playing. That's flesh. They're kind of playing back to when they made the Super Bowl.
That's right.
That's so far. So they're
Aaron Donald, he just looks angry. You just see the ferocity that he's coming through. Yeah. You know, it's just pushing offensive linemen out of the way. I think of Jax from Mortal Kombat. He's going to tear somebody's arms off sooner or later with one of his fatalities. He's going to rip someone's arms off. And just push his body, just push his corpse out of the way. Like he looks super determined this year. I think Aaron Donald. I think, you know, whether or not he's sort of had a little bit less of a productive last year, you know, sack wise. But yeah, I think he's coming. Yeah, he's got quarterbacks on the menu.
I watch Hard Knocks, and that dude with the t-shirt off is absolutely insanely scary. And just there's no fat at all. He's he's ridiculous. It's if you watch it, my God, that guy. And he flexes, and it's just, he's scary. It's funny because I did a lot of scrimmages and that, and every time, obviously, you know, the LA offense versus the LA defense, and that young coach must have yelled sack about seven times, sack, because they can't really sack him. Otherwise, Jared Goff would have been killed.
That's right. Jared Goff would have that red jersey on, or the orange jersey. It's like, yeah, you're not allowed to hit me, but yeah, it's if worst comes to worst, Jared Goff's going to be on the menu too. Don't worry about that.
And did you have a dart of the week?
Look, I guess you could give it to many. You know, there was many, I think, this week. I think Philadelphia throwing away that 17-0 lead to Washington of all teams. I think that can't happen. Detroit, you know, basically letting the Chicago Bears score 21 points in the fourth quarter. That just simply can't happen. I thought Denver had a really good shot of winning that game on Monday Night Football as well. And Vic Fangio just had absolutely horrendous clock management to end that game. You know, with a minute 20 left on the clock, all of his timeouts and not using them to stop the clock, to buy his team and Drew Lock some time to try and come back after they were put down. So I think. They're sort of, you know, it's a bit of a, I've cast a wide net of duds this week, but I don't know if you can sort of, you know, touch on any more.
Well, for me, I'm sorry, my dud of the week is from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, he is going in this, and everyone was saying how the partnership would go because they, you know, how friendly they are, but I really have no idea why they picked up Rob Gronkowski from the Buccaneers.
Because he's Tom Brady's boy.
That's right, but I don't think Rob Gronkowski has what Rob Gronkowski, or Gronk, let's just say Gronk, has what he has again. I think, if anything, he deters that offense from having good. You've got Godwin and Mike Evans there. Let's just throw it to those two massive weapons. I just, you know, you've got 211. oh man, like 11 yards, and yeah, he just.
He's it might just take him slower. A little bit of season to sort of, you know, he's just had, know. A year, just had a year off of you know, of partying and, you know, and drinking beer and probably winning snorting, you know, copious titles. Amounts of, yeah, probably snorting copious amounts of cocaine, but.
Winning 24/7 titles as well.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, big part of WrestleMania, and yeah, getting himself some gold there. But
yeah, it's probably because not that he was getting hyped about. I just don't. He just was terrible and it's probably because he had that lofty standards. I don't know if he's just a step slower or what, but
it could take him half the season to get into a football rhythm again.
Possibly.
Especially with essentially no off season and no preseason. Like, you know, all of those things are all working against, you know, Gronk to be Gronk at the start of this season. But I think as the season goes on, I think you'll see his production go up and not just be a glorified blocker.
Did you have a definitive dud? Because I just wanted to finish on one more team before we finish up.
No, not really. It's, I mean, it's like I said, I cast a bit of a wide net of duds this week. So yeah, just sort of throw a few of them out there. You know, obviously, you know, Philip Rivers as well. Like, man, 25 turnovers. So 22 interceptions and 3 fumbles in his last 17 games.
Mm.
So all of last season, and then the first game this year. Like, it's just, he's. I know he has to earn a paycheck because he's got 67 kids, but he's got it. Yeah, it's
every time I hear it. I think he's
going to benefit the longer the season goes on.
I think so.
But just that game against Jacksonville, brutal.
I just want to finish up just talking about, because I just don't know where they're going to go this year, the Denver Broncos. What do you think of the team overall? I mean, they've got Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon played pretty well in that first game. I guess
they're in a little bit of purgatory, I suppose. Like, yeah. You know, Philip Lindsay got hurt in that game as well, so that sort of, I guess that bodes well for Melvin Gordon. Look, I think John Elway thinks he's got himself a quarterback in Drew Locke.
I mean, somebody played terrible. I mean, you know, he didn't
throw any flashes of brilliance last year. Like, I don't think, you know, he's not going to be a Brock Osweiler or anything. I don't think he's going to be a total flop. But, you know, John Elway loves his tall quarterbacks. I think Drew Locke's 6'6". So I think he's got that sort of, you know, that in his head. That's the mold for a quarterback.
True.
Cortland Sutton, I think, you know, I think he's out as well. At the moment, I think they might be stifled a little bit. They'll need to step it up offensively. You know, Vic Fangio is more of a defensive-minded coach, so he has to have a really good offensive coordinator there to be able to call the shots offensively.
I think they let go, and that looked like a little bit evident in that first game towards the end of the game anyway, letting go Chris Harris Jr., who's a brilliant cornerback to the Chargers, you know, possibly could hurt them. But you're right, he's probably
they've still got Bradley Chubb there, like, you know, and Von Miller being hurt, you know, essentially, on the eve of the season start,
was just
a defensive killer for him. But you know, now that just means that Bradley Chubb now has got to stand tall.
I suppose they still have the weapons. I think they're in purgatory. I think that's probably the best way to put it. You just don't know what they're going to do.
They could be anything, and they're going to be one of those teams that'll spring a win on somebody and be like, whoa, where did that come from? But
that'll be a betting nightmare for that reason. Like, you can't have the multi because you don't know which way to go.
quite possibly. Like,
I think
Vic Fangio will be able to get the best out of that defensive crew. Obviously, them picking up Jerry Jeudy as well, you know, is going to enhance them offensively. Like, once again, as long as they get the right play caller, that's going to dial up some plays for Jerry Jeudy and Drew Locke. So, Look, they're probably not going to have another terrific season this year. But let's see, them picking up their future stocks receiving wise, Noah Fant, they picked up last year, who was a rookie, who's a really good receiving tight end. Mm. I think he had five catches in that game.
He topped the receiving receiving yards. Yeah, he played pretty good. They got 89 yards.
Jerry Judy there. Melvin Gordon is a good pass catcher out of the backfield. So they're not really going to be lacking much in the pass game.
That's a phenomenal pickup.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I don't know. The purgatory is probably the best word to put with them because I don't know what they're going to be. That's probably the best word for them. They're always a bit, you don't know with the Denver Broncos. I think because John Elway doesn't really know. He's looked at a younger quarterback this time. The last few quarterbacks were just, they had Flacco, didn't they, last one?
Flacco was a backup there, but, they had Case Keenum there for a little while. They've gone for sort of your more elder statesman there. So I think they've just gone for the full youth movement at the moment. So and that's the right direction to go. Like if they think they've got their guy in Drew Lock, then you've got to give him all the confidence in the world and you've got to back him.
Well, unless you had anything else, that'll do it then for week one of the NFL.
Yeah, and it was good to have the NFL back
100%.
This week. So yeah, I was
get a lot more games in Australia too, by the looks of it. You've got obviously you've got Fox Sports /KO. You've got Seven Mate that are doing a couple of games as well. So
it's really good. Yeah, they always have Seven Mate has got for everybody who doesn't have Foxtel. You've got KO. You've got KO as well, so you can run off ESPN there. So you basically can flick between sort of two games if you can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Monday morning if you're so inclined to do. So America just needs to hurry up and get out of daylight saving at the moment, so we can all have an extra hour sleep in and get up at 4 o'clock for these games.
Had red zone here still, but that would have been phenomenal.
If we had red zone here, if you're not so inclined to pay for the NFL network, I just want a red zone for free on ESPN. Like, just give me red zone for free. It's not free, but
I think everybody's missing red zone. Trust me.
Just give me red zone.
And I think I know one person that's paying for League Pass, which, I don't get it. He's got Foxtel, so I don't get why he's paying for League Pass. But anyway.
League Pass is kind of expensive. Get on a Facebook page called NFL Game Recaps. It gives you between 10 to 15 minutes of the best bits of the game. And if you can't, if you can't sit down, because obviously watching all of these games is near impossible, they're a good little snippet into the game, and you can get most of the big plays and turning points and things like that. But also it's good to watch full games, especially if they're good and close to watch play calling, to see strategy in the game is good as well. If you can get out there and watch it, it's great.
Well, that'll do it this week for week one of NFL 2020, COVID-induced NFL 2020.
Yeah, true.
We'll have week two coming up soon, the next couple of days, and then, straight into the last round of the NRL, then straight into the NRL final series, which will, don't know with that one, could go anyway. I mean, I prefer Melbourne, obviously, to win, but after we'll talk about, obviously, in the next couple of days, but after that last round, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. Well, I thought what was going to happen is probably not going to happen. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, well, this week in the NRL too, there was a lot of teams that rested 1,000 players, so,
It's a team that got smoked too.
yeah, that's right, yeah, and that was not so much full strength, but yeah, you didn't really expect that sort of scoreline on Friday night, hint, hint, but...
No, I did not expect
I mean, this was a bit of a bizarre round, and, you know, a couple of marginal games ended up costing me second prize in the tipping comp at work. So very, very upset with two certain teams this week, and you will hear that later on in the week. I'll probably vent a little bit about that later on.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Final Play Pod, and Facebook is just literally just go to search engine and type in Final Play Podcast, and you'll also be able to get our podcast on gimko.com.au, which is GIMKO.
Yeah, thanks again to Dom for giving us a shout out on last night's NFL break.
Yeah.
Love their work. Him and Mojo King. Just had to put that in there just for the hell of it.
We didn't have to say our names anymore. We just use Mojo King every time.
Yeah, that's, as well. That's right.
This is Dom and Mojo King coming at you.
You can use Mojo King, and I'll use Linsanity.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll take that. Until Mojo King gets a bit cranky about it, because
probably won't like you plagiarizing that. So you can be like, I don't know, you can be like Dojo King or something.
Dojo King, no. Well, figures. No, you're gonna have the word Mojo there. Maybe Mojo Prince or something like that. It's gonna have the word Mojo.
Mojo, there. Yeah. So if you want to go one better, you could go Mojo Ace.
Ooh, that's not bad. All right, well, that's how I'm going to sign off. This is Jason Mojo Ace Smith coming at you.
Coming after you, Mojo King.
I don't think that's going to happen. But
no, anyway. That's never going to happen.
Otherwise, we're never going to have pods in there. So
no, that's right. He will destroy you and destroy us.
Have a good week.
Sanity Plum. Enjoy the rest of your week, and look out for us. Look out for, many, many pods to come shortly, and we're rapidly approaching 100.
This was number 90, so, getting closer.
Getting closer.
All right, see you, everyone.
See you.